This is Dr. Carol Myers with Health Connections. Today, our topic is navigators. In the studio with me, I have a friend and colleague, Walter Davis.
I'm the recently former executive director of the Tennessee Healthcare Campaign, which is one of the longest standing organizations fighting for access to healthcare for all Tennesseans, and live in Blount County.
Thank you, Walter, and welcome to Health Connections. Well, the Trump administration recently announced changes to the 2019 federal navigator funding. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services cut navigator funding from $36 million for 2018 enrollment to $10 million for the 2019 enrollment. We started in 2017 with $63 million allocated for navigator funding, and we're now down to $10 million for 2019. Let's start with a description of navigators. Everyone may not know what they are. The Affordable Care Act requires every health insurance marketplace or exchange to establish a navigator program for every federally facilitated marketplace. There are 34 of these, and Tennessee has one. Navigator programs provide outreach, education, and enrollment assistance to consumers eligible for marketplace plans as well as eligible for Medicaid plans. Since President Trump has been in office, navigator funding has been reduced by 84%. Walter, am I correct that you have assisted with market plan enrollments in the past?
I've done so as a volunteer, but I've also directed navigators in their work in Middle Tennessee primarily and some in the West. Their role was, as you say, it's not to point people to a particular kind of healthcare option, but to assist them with asking the questions that are important for them to make a meaningful judgment of what their options are. They're usually the most complicated cases. They're the cases that take an hour and sometimes repeat and have to come back with additional information.
So the folks that seek out the services of a navigator or volunteers associated with navigators generally are more complicated or have complex needs.
Right.
The rationale provided by the Trump administration for the cuts in navigator funding related to some basic enrollment numbers and costs per assisted enrollee. The Trump administration insists that the marketplace have evolved. Public awareness is growing, and they think there's a need to move from the labor-intensive face-to-face enrollment services provided by navigators and the volunteers to alternative methods. Do you think there's an ongoing need for face-to-face assistance?
Actually, I think it's increased, especially as there's some public confusion about if there is even an Affordable Care program marketplace. So you have a lot of people that are giving up finding insurance because they're so confused. And now we have additional problems of because of that confusion, a lot of scams that are now approaching people by phone or by even by television advertising.
Can you say more about these scams? I'm a person who is looking for health insurance. What would a scam be like to me?
Well, for example, you get a phone call and they say, did you have this kind of insurance? We've got a better deal. It's cheaper than that of Obamacare. They don't tell you that it may be cheaper, but it does apply the conditions of pre-existing conditions. It does have a limit on how much they're going to pay out for certain conditions. Are they going to have the option of it being short-term and eliminating you if you take advantage of it?
The funding cuts are certainly something that's caught our attention, but there are other changes this year with the exchanges.
Yep.
The Trump administration's promoting plans that bypass the required consumer protections and benefits included in the Affordable Care Act qualified health plans. These, what I call bypass plans, include association plans that don't offer the full complement of benefits, and short-term plans, which have very major liabilities associated with them. For the 2019 enrollment, the Trump administration is requiring that navigators educate consumers about non-qualified health plans and the bypass plans and communicate information about abortion coverage And we're finding now that the navigators are no longer required to reside in the state where they're providing services. So how does this match up with what you've described as the scams? Are you implying that some of the scams is because of the advent of these new bypass plans?
I think it's because the private marketplace is so confused at this point as to what how they relate to the requirements of the Affordable Care Act, which was you don't deny people coverage on the basis of pre-existing conditions. You don't charge women more simply because of their gender and the other kind of conditions that, we're going back 20 years or more to a system that really denied to the people that needed health care the most, and as opposed to health insurance. Mm-hmm. We're now excluding them the first step by just making it more difficult to get in the door. We have to remember health insurance and why the Affordable Care Act was created was because of the 40 to 50 million Americans who did not have health insurance and whose primary health care was the emergency room at hospitals, which was causing hospitals to go into trouble. So we're going back to a time where healthcare access was denied on the basis of lack of health insurance. Mm-hmm. Inadequate so-called association plans is not a solution. It's a backward step.
Okay, so if I was an uninsured individual and accessed the services of the exchanges in prior years, I had some comfort in that the plans that were offered had basic benefit requirements.
Right.
And that they protected me from some of the problems that we had previously around coverage. And beginning in 2019, that will no longer be true. And at the same time, we're allowing the brokers now to be the primary navigators. Can we talk a little bit about the difference between a broker and a navigator and what this might mean? And this is what to me is most important, the people who will be seeking out exchange plans during the enrollment in the fall?
I have to start with, there are good insurance brokers and insurance agents. I don't want to imply that's a bad profession, but they were never intended to be the primary helpers when it came to people with serious, complicated situations. They can't spend 2 hours working with an individual case where there's not likelihood they're going to have a return on the time. So that's why navigators were created, not to supply help to everybody, but to supply help to the people that needed it the most. To some extent, I think it's good if the insurance industry helps get people enrolled in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. But it's going to take more than those folks when problems. And I get phone calls even now, even though I'm not primarily doing enrollment help, I get calls from insurance agents who want to know how this particular problem is going to be dealt with because it is complicated.
So you are saying that navigators and brokers aren't interchangeable, mm-hmm. and that the brokers may very well serve a certain segment of the population. Are the brokers enrolling folks in Medicaid and CHIP, because that's another part of the navigator role.
Right. In Tennessee in particular, because navigators have a particular role with TennCare. And TennCare can be very complicated. Okay. I talked to a navigator yesterday who said that it was the busiest month in their history.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to unpack. There's two things from what you just said, Walter. So the brokers do not work with clients who need to enroll in TennCare or CHIP. Is that correct?
They will tend to refer.
Refer.
To the people who can help them especially.
And then you hinted at the increased need to help people enroll in TennCare, and that's because of a major change that the state made, mm-hmm. where we do not have in-person enrollment assistance, that it's done through the navigator programs. Is that correct?
With the exception of the primary care centers and people at Cherokee Health Systems, for example, will go out of their way to assist, and they have certified application counselors. But it's spreading people a lot thinner to provide assistance if you don't have navigators across the state.
One of the important things of going on the exchange is not just finding a plan, but then getting assistance through subsidies to pay for that plan. What is the broker's role in regards to helping define subsidies?
Their incentive is to get a plan that's going to provide them with an income as well.
Them being the brokers?
Being the brokers, because they're not working on a government contract. They're working as their own job, to which they supports their living. So their incentive is to find plans that are going to give them compensation for having done the work.
My understanding is that the navigators were required, according to the language in the Affordable Care Act, to be impartial and to not recommend plans. Okay, so that's a difference.
And what navigators do is ask the questions of the person, who are your primary care providers, what hospitals near you, to see if the insurance, as they were choosing it, was going to meet their needs and their pharmaceutical needs and include it.
Okay. When you go and look up navigators, you do a Google search, it's all across the map. It's the end of the world, these navigator cuts, funding cuts, and, oh, we can weather this storm. It's no big deal. Then you have some that are a little more nuanced that say, by itself, it may not be a big deal, but the cumulative effect is becoming almost oppressive.
Right.
The ongoing efforts to undermine the ACA implementation and operation and the cumulative impact. Can you talk about how significant the navigator cuts are and what your thoughts are in general as these relate to other actions?
The cuts are serious, and I do think they're a stab at the Affordable Care Act, but that remains the law of the land. The Affordable Care Act is still national policy, and it still has a role in providing health insurance for the people who are of a certain income level. So if it's not going to be, that help is not going to be provided by the navigators, because you can't spread $10 million across 34 states and have a serious program anywhere, frankly, then you've got to have volunteer help. If you can't get insurance through the Affordable Care Act, or you need, if you're not eligible for TennCare, then those volunteers will help point people to other community options. Like if there's a remote area medical free clinic, those options would be shared with people. It takes someone in the community to help people. If it's not being provided as a government service, then we'll see it provided as a volunteer service.
I think as a general statement, even those of us that are in the workforce and have employer-based coverage, health insurance is not easy to understand. And then when we look at people that have vulnerabilities based on their income, their education, where they live, their health conditions, that it's natural that they would have extra needs. I want to thank you because you did something that I think is very important. We respond to problems, but we have to move to action. And you identified several things that could be done to help mitigate the problem that we have with the funding cuts. So thank you very much, and thank you for being here on Health Connections.